We are already into the fourth day of the new year, and it's always an opportunity for us to reflect at the beginning of a year all the blessings and graces we've received from God in the past year, how many times God has shown us His mercy, how many graces God has given us and blessings He has given us. And also we reflect upon all the many times we have failed God in thought, word, or action. And in this we see that God in His love for us has given us yet another opportunity in this new year to begin again, to strive to follow Him with renewed hearts, with renewed love, and with renewed fervor. And we know this new year especially begins on this beautiful feast of the Solemnity of the Mother of God on January 1st. And also, of course, today, the first Saturday of the new year. And it's important for us to know why we're here today. Why do we come to do the first Saturday devotions? Where does it stem from? Where does it come from? Well, when Our Lady appeared at Fatima to the three children, she told Lucia, "Jesus wishes to establish in the world devotion to My Immaculate Heart." Jesus wishes to establish in the world devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Then, when Our Lady gave the children in July or June of that year the vision of hell, after the vision of hell, she said, "God wishes to save poor sinners. God wishes to establish in the world devotion to My Immaculate Heart." And so we see the devotion to Our Lady's Immaculate Heart is actually given to us from the Blessed Trinity. The Holy Trinity has given this devotion in this time especially to renew the world in love for God, to renew the world in love for Jesus, because it takes a mother's heart to change our hearts. A mother's heart which is so tender, so gentle, so pure, so faithful. But the first Saturday devotion also has a very special directive behind it. In March of 1939, Mary appeared to Sister Lucia, she was at the convent at that time, with the child Jesus in her arms. And the child Jesus said, Our Lady's heart appeared with circled with thorns. And the infant Jesus said to Lucia, "Have pity on the heart of your most holy mother. It is covered with thorns, with which ungrateful men pierce it at every moment. And there is no one to remove them with an act of reparation." So the infant Jesus is saying, "Have mercy on your mother." From ungrateful men who at every moment pierce her heart. Then Our Lady spoke, and she said, "See, my daughter, my heart is encircled by thorns, with which ungrateful men pierce it at every moment by their blasphemies and ingratitude. Do you at least strive to console me? Tell them," meaning tell the faithful, she's saying, Our Lady's telling Lucia, "tell the faithful that I promise to assist at the hour of death with the graces necessary for salvation all those who, in order to make reparation to me on the first Saturday of five successive months, go to confession, receive Holy Communion, say five decades of the rosary, and keep me company for 15 minutes meditating on the 15 mysteries or one of the mysteries of the Rosary. And so what does Our Lady promise from this devotion? The graces necessary for salvation. Our Lady is promising us if we do this devotion, we will have the graces we need to get to heaven. And how little Our Lady is asking of us to get to heaven. To pray, to go to confession, receive Holy Communion, to pray the Rosary, and to meditate for 15 minutes on one of the mysteries of the Rosary. Our Lady promised the graces necessary for salvation. This is a very important devotion. It brings with it the graces necessary for salvation, because none of us know what hour we will die. None of us know what moment we'll die. And I've seen people younger than me, fitter than me, just drop dead without any preparation. This devotion is so important. It also brings with it an act of reparation. Why? Because of ungrateful men. And there are five types of offenses Jesus told Sister Lucia, which especially hurt the heart of Mary. The five blasphemies against the Immaculate Heart of Mary are blasphemies against her Immaculate Conception, blasphemies against her virginity. And you know what? We are being naive if we say no one speaks ill of Mary, no one attacks these things of Mary. Wake up, because they do. They do it on the internet, and they do it in even worse ways. You know, a couple of years ago, two years in a row, in New Zealand, they put, during Christmas time, a billboard mocking Our Lady's virginity. Mocking Mary's virginity. And you know what? Each year, there was an earthquake there. Each year, there was an earthquake there. Both years, they put up a billboard mocking Mary's virginity. And I thought there was no coincidence that there was earthquakes there at that time when they put these billboards up mocking Mary's virginity. It was terrible, terrible blasphemous. Also, blasphemies against her divine maternity, that she is the Mother of God. And in refusing at the same time to recognize her as the mother of men. She is our mother. And the fourth is blasphemies of those who publicly seek to sow in the hearts of children indifference or scorn or even hatred of our Blessed Mother. So the other blasphemy Jesus told Lucia is for those people who teach children to be mocking Mary, or to be scornful or indifferent to our Blessed Mother. And the fifth is the offenses of those who outrage her directly by her holy images, people who do terrible things to the images of Mary. So this first Saturday is so devotion to make reparation to our Blessed Mother, and you are here, and I assure you, you are consoling our Blessed Mother by your presence here. You're consoling our Blessed Mother when you do the first Saturday devotions, that they have the specific aim to make reparation. When so many are blaspheming our Blessed Mother, we are here before Jesus to make reparation, to console our dear Mother, that we love her, we want to be faithful children of her, and we want to make up for these offenses by which she is so hurt by ungrateful men, and especially pray for their conversion. Pray that they know that their mother is a gentle, loving mother, because she is the mother of all humanity. This first Saturday of the new year also reminds us of the words that Mary said. Those words are words which I never tire of reflecting on. When she told Sister Lucia she would soon take Francesco and Jacinta to heaven, but she would have to remain on earth for some time, Our Lady said, And Lucia began to cry at the thought that she would be alone. Our Lady said, "You are suffering very much, but do not be discouraged. I will never forsake you." These are words that Our Lady says to each of us. Each of us suffer in some ways. Each of us get discouraged in some way. Our Lady is saying to you and I, "You are not alone. I will never forsake you." Our Blessed Mother will never abandon us. Believe that truly. Believe that with all your heart, that our Heavenly Mother will never abandon us. She will never abandon us. This is to give us great confidence. "I will never forsake you," Mary said. "My Immaculate Heart will be your refuge." And how we need a refuge in our time. With all the godlessness, all the indifference, all the contradictions against our holy faith. How do we remain faithful to Jesus when we see so many Catholics even leaving the church, or so many Catholics rejecting the teachings of the church? How do we remain faithful to the moral teachings of the church, what the church teaches how to live morally? Our Lady's heart is our refuge, that we must daily place ourselves in Mary's heart for protection. We must daily place our children in Mary's heart for protection. We must daily place our families in Mary's heart for protection. That Our Lady's heart is our refuge to protect us from the vicious attacks of Satan we see happening all over the world. That we will remain faithful with Mary's help. It's no coincidence that, you know, it's traditionally people fear, when people fear, they flee. All the apostles fled in fear at the crucifixion except one. All of them fled in fear. They were afraid to be with Jesus at that hour when he was dying on the cross, because they were afraid that they were going to be put in prison and crucified as well. One apostle stood there with Jesus, St. John. And the fathers say, of the church, they say, it was Mary that gave John that courage to stand there, not to be afraid what others would think of him, not to be afraid of what others would say to him, not to be afraid above all of what other people would do to him. Mary gave him that courage to stand there and give witness to Jesus. And she'll give us that same courage, that we're not afraid, that we are Catholics, we follow Jesus. We don't follow the whims of this world or the doctrines of this world or the untruths of this world. We follow Jesus Christ and the one church he founded. And we're not ashamed of this. We're not afraid. And Mary gives me that courage to profess my faith boldly, courageously, even in the midst of being laughed at or mocked at by my family or friends, that I am not afraid to stand up for what I believe in. The Son of God founded the one true Holy Catholic Church, and I'm a member of that church. And I'm going to live my faith according to that faith he gives me. Mary is our refuge to protect us from Satan's attacks. "And my Immaculate Heart will be the road that will lead you to God," she told Sister Lucia. This corresponds very much with St. Alphonsus Liguori said, "No one who is a child of Mary will go to hell." That's a saint saying that. No one who belongs to Mary will go to hell. So great is Mary's prayer before the Blessed Trinity. When she prays, she doesn't pray like you and I. Mary prays with authority. Why? Her Son is God. Her Son is God, the second person of the Trinity. When she prays to him, when she turns to him and asks for something, she asks as a mother. And Jesus never refuses his mother. He never says no to his mother. And so when a poor sinner turns to Mary before they die, "Blessed Mother, intercede for me, help me before I die, pray for me." Mary in turn goes to the Trinity and she says, "Have mercy on my child, forgive them for what they've done." And it's been proven by many, many various apparitions and so forth. Even St. Louis de Montfort writes a book about an exorcism that St. Dominic did. And the demons confess that even the greatest sinners, if they turn to Mary before they die, she would snatch them from going to hell. So great is her prayer before the Blessed Trinity. St. Alphonsus calls Mary the prayer omnipotent. What does it mean to be omnipotent? It means to be able to do all things. And we know that only God can do all things. But Mary can do all things by her prayers. God refuses her nothing. Even when she appeared at Fatima, World War I was raging. And she told the children, "Tell the people to pray the Rosary for the end of the war. For only Our Lady of the Rosary can bring it to an end." She told the children this, "Only Our Lady of the Rosary can end the war." So important and decisive are Mary's prayers before the Blessed Trinity. And so let us in this new year truly make this a year with Mary, that we ask Mary to grant us all these graces in the new year, to be faithful to her Son, to have greater zeal in serving Him, and above all, that we are more courageous in living our Catholic faith, that Mary gives us that courage to live it ever more heroically in a world that becomes ever more dark and ungodly. May we console our Blessed Mother in this new year by fulfilling her request of the first 5 Saturdays of the month. And let us, in our part, have great confidence that she will never forsake us, that Mary loves each of you. She cares for each of you. She knows all of your sufferings, all of your trials, all of your hardships. And she knows that with her help, you and I will get through these difficulties and reach safely our home in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.